You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of July 27, 2022. Pause your television. Meow, it's time to talk about animals.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Chester.
And I am George Alpore.
We are the co-curators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And it's going to get a little hairy on this episode.
Oh my God. How many animal puns can we fit in here?
I mean, yeah, if anyone is listening by the end, we haven't done our job because that means there hasn't been enough puns.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, we both played part of, but not the full thing yet. We'll probably talk about that in future weeks. We have played part of the latest release, Stray.
Yes.
Latest cat simulator.
Finally, a cat simulator. I think there have been several, in fact.
A kind of adventure, third-person adventure-esque game, but you control a cat the whole time. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. And then I think we're going to talk a little bit about a few other notable animal games. Yes. And then apparently there's going to be some hot cat takes.
Well,
anyway, by George here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just have some feelings about how the cat is realized in Stray that I have some issues with. But before we go into that, let's talk about the positive. You've both been playing Stray. I think generally speaking, Stray's pretty good, right?
Yeah. I was, I remember seeing, gosh, they announced this game, I feel like a couple of years ago, if not more, but I didn't follow it too closely, so I didn't even really know too much about it.
Well, this is interesting to me, because I think if you had followed it, when they first showed Stray, they just showed you as a cat kind of navigating this sort of like urban city, and it was immediately picked my interest. I think about a year after that was first displayed, they showed another trailer, and this is when they started showing the robots that are in the game.
Yes.
Yeah. Which turned down my interest by a considerable margin.
Because you wanted a true cat simulator, not a cat adventure.
I mean, again, I'm not going to jump too quickly into like shitting on this game because I think it's very good, but kind of, yeah. Like I was in it for the cats. I didn't need sci-fi robots to continue to sell me on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we'll talk just about kind of the early parts of the game so that it doesn't get spoiled too much. It's not a long game.
We don't want to neuter your enjoyment.
But, you know, we won't pussyfoot around. We'll talk about our unvarnished opinions.
Yeah, exactly right. So, what do you want
tell
to
tell me about the opening, maybe the opening bits, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the very opening bits, the game starts where you are with three other cat homies.
You're just straight up frolicking.
Yeah, you're just like enjoying life, living your life as a cat. You're like you're playing with their tail and stuff, and you're like meowing. I love the fact that the meows come from the PlayStation 5 controller.
I was going to ask you if you were on the PlayStation 5, because that is a clear bonus to me if you're playing it on 100%. That system.
This game should be played on the PlayStation 5 because that speaker is very cool. It's really enjoyable. I am spamming that fucking meow button like crazy, even though it has pretty much no mechanical benefit in the game at all. But they dedicate a face button, too. It's a circle button. Like, that is your meow.
Prime real estate on the controller is Meow Town.
Yes. I think that the opening credits where you're shown in this sort of overgrown, lush area, hanging out, playing with your cats, is honestly some of the strongest material right off the bat. Because it feels adventurous. It feels like you've got a little posse of cats going with you, right? To me, it sort of... It reminds me of this is going to be like maybe a deep cut at our age, but something like Homeward Bound, right? Where it's like, oh, you're all bud cats and hanging out, right? That's a cool experience. Yeah. And then the cat falls very far down into like a pile of muck. And that's where you find yourself in the rest of the game, right? This underground scene.
Yeah, the game kind of, the adventure begins from there, basically.
Yes. I think that transition was really elegant. I quite like that generally speaking. And I think the world, as you go into it, is really just beautifully rendered. Like the art on the walls, the text, it feels like a city that has been lived in. And I say that not in the sense that it's eroded, but it's been lived in. And I think that's actually pretty fucking rare when it comes to games that are sort of post-apocalyptic. You expect to see a world that is grungy and decayed, and if it's run by robots, overly mechanical. But the general theme of the game that you discover as you're reading text and interacting with these robot people is one in which these robots are kind of missing, or like living under the sense of ennui at the loss of mankind, and trying to live lives that are sort of mirroring it.
Yes.
And in some in very real ways. Like, so for example, later on in the game, you meet a robot who kind of has a dad figure, which robots don't normally have.
Yeah.
And that relationship, I think, is really effective and touching. And you get, I think at one point, your little robot drone comments that, you see like a doll that looks like a child, and that robots don't have that, but maybe these two characters do. Is that close enough? And it's such a cool exploration of humanity and being human and what those ideas mean. And I kind of like the fact that these robots are essentially human, but they don't realize it. So they're pursuing this desire to be more human when they already are. And what they really need to overcome is that sort of malaise. Yeah. I think that world building, very, very effective.
Yeah. And it's just it's kind of a heady concept, but it's like, what constitutes a person? Is it, you know, the kind of essential biological components, or is it basically the habits and algorithms you run? You know, like, what is society? And it's like, oh, well, like, these robots are following these processes and kind of becoming this because they're recreating the systems that the humans once had, in not the same way, but a close enough way. And so it starts to call into question, like, man, how much of our humanity is just like the routines we do, you know? And could a robot society get close? And it's just kind of a cool, I agree. Like, it's a cool, you know, it's not like a life or death, you know, the fate of the universe rests in the balance sort of sci-fi tale. It's like a more localized one, which is nice, you know, especially compared to a lot of big games that
for sure. When it really lets you shed that baggage that you might bring into a game that is like a post-apocalyptic story, right? Like you really can kind of enjoy being a cat in that space in a way.
Yes. You know? Well, there's a difference between so many post-apocalypse games are set in a sudden apocalypse where it's like something happened, a calamity happened. And then whereas I mean, you know, for all we know, I'm not that far in the game. Like, I'm sure there was some inciting event that caused this downfall, but
yeah, I still don't know what it is if it's been revealed, and I'm pretty far.
I mean, and maybe they will, maybe they won't, but like the way that it seems to manifest based off of your points about how the world seems lived in is it seems kind of like this gradual just running out of gas. You know, things just kind of slowly wound down instead of like got bombed out, which is a different. It's different than a lot of other games where like a calamity happened. And so it's cool to have like a different take on what the end of a society looks like when it ends slowly, not suddenly.
There is an illusion that like where you're at is, well, not an illusion. I think they explicitly say it, like it's kind of like a bomb shelter. So something happened, but that's not really the point, right? It's like the people that are living in that underground city sort of slowly died.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those remnants are there. And I like your point about the processes of the robots, because a lot of them do have character, but they still, you know, one of the things I disliked when the second trailer dropped and showed the robots was the kind of twee look of them, right? Like they have old, you know, like DOS on their, you know, right. And it's all like pixel and
stylized robots.
Yeah. So like, to me, it was like, okay, that's cute, but is that really going to be effective? But I think one of the ways that it is effective is you get the sense that like, you know, they're not presenting themselves because that's necessarily how they were designed in a way, right? Yeah. It's almost more of like they built themselves that way because that was that tweeness was desirable in a way.
Yes.
You know, like, and the processes that they're running that are humanistic are almost like rubbed off, right? Like the elements of humanity have rubbed off on all of those robots.
Exactly. Yeah. Like they're emulating it in a naive but kind of kind way, where it's like, oh, this must be the way you live, and it's just, I don't know, it in a weird way it feels natural for what they're trying to do, which is a strange thing to say about robots.
I think one of the most effective ways that they establish that just the robot tone, in fact, is when you first drop into the city, all the robots run from you. They're like, oh my God, like, what is this thing? It's a terrible cat, right? And hide. And then one of them is finally like, oh, actually, you're pretty chill, and calls off the alarm. But the alarm is like this big thing, you know? They all go run and hide. It's a cool entry because, I don't know, in a way, it makes the world feel like scarier, and then it calms down, and you're actually in like a cool, chill kind of hub world in a way.
Yes,
But I liked that. I really enjoyed the sense of them being weaker and scared of something as small as a cat.
So let's talk about the cat a little bit. One of the other reasons why I played it on the PS5 is because I wanted to see if they did anything fancy with the haptic feedback. You know, scratching posts, rubbing against trees, whatever. And I haven't gotten too much of that yet, but I have enjoyed the just the straight up realization of the cat, you know, the animation, that how the kind of the movement is and stuff. I mean, they must have had to mocap it. Mocap a cat? Like, did they put a cat in the ping pong balls and
I don't think anybody has the power to put a cat in a suit, ping pong ball suit. I'm willing to put that out there that no one has figured out how to do that.
No one has tried and survived that.
I do know that they did credit the voice actor of the cat, and like, it has a cat. I think his name is Toby or something. They posted it on Twitter.
So funny.
Yeah. So there is definitely a cat. I mean, Prince of Persia style, they must've spent hours like looking at just cat
observing
movements.
The cat.
Yeah. It looks really good. The haptic feedback. So when you do a scratching post, you can feel more pressure.
There's resistance. Yeah. Yeah. It's subtle though.
I think it's too much resistance, actually.
You'd rather, you think the claws should be more powerful, basically.
Or like maybe have resistance on the first down pull, but then ease as you go. I don't know. I've seen cats fucking tear up furniture. It does not seem like they're having that hard of a time.
About that same thing where it's like, there was one where I was like scratching what looked to be kind of, you know, tree or like overgrown moss or something like that. I was like, okay, I get how this could be tough. But then there was like a carpet and I was like, ah, the cat would just be shredding this shit. Like, how come this is so hard?
Yeah, demolishing that. Crazy. The other haptic stuff is if you deliver music sheets to like a musician bum, he even has like robot dreads, which is hilarious.
Classic.
He'll play music and you can sit next to him and just chill and your cat will purr and your controller will vibrate. I like that a lot. I wish there was more moments of purring. I think maybe you purr a little bit because you can rub yourself between the legs of some robots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and purr. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think the game does a lot with... the game feels like, in some ways, it feels pretty open. But I think they are cleverly implement ways to limit you so that you don't, it doesn't turn into a like Octodad simulator type of game.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like your jump button will automatically put you to the next ledge. You know, like the environment might look super dense, but you are actually fairly limited with where you can go and how you can go on it or off of it or whatever. So you're not this weird kind of Quap-like cat. They maintain the cat's balance and elegance by limiting, what you can do with it, or else it'd be this cat would just be falling off of buildings 24/7, which I thought was an interesting way of kind of solving that. Like, how do you implement agility, but also keep the player moving? And the game is actually very linear in many ways. You know, like when you're actually doing the puzzles and stuff, like there's not that much variance
not
to do.
All, yeah.
But they cover it over with the density of the environment and the animation of the cat.
It's an interesting point that you make, though, because I feel like you would go either way. I think I'm on your side in that I think it's an elegant solution because the cat will always consistently look like it knows its shit, right?
Yes.
The cat will jump to places where it can jump. I've never seen a fucking cat, like, fall down, right? That's the whole point. On the other hand, I do feel like it's a missed opportunity to be able to navigate that space a bit more as a cat, be more, I don't know, like to be more daring in a way.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's the difference between, like if you were going to make a cat game that focused on the actual mechanics and exploration and the kind of, you know, the, the physicality of being a cat, it'd probably be like the Spider-Man games.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Yeah.
And you know, you'd be running up fences and jumping, like all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this maybe is a good transition into some of my like issues of this game, right? But I think the cat is beautifully realized from a third person, I'm looking at a cat perspective. Yeah. But I think the idea of embodying the cat isn't all that effective. There's a few like just purely game design issues, right? One I think is it's really challenging to be at cat level. There's a lot of verticality to the game.
Yeah.
And it's very challenging to look up and figure out where you're going to go and plan your routes as a cat. Which means that I'm often like jerking the thumbstick up and down all over and over again to the point where I'm legitimately getting nauseous at times.
Right.
Trying to sort of plan my route. And to me, like, that just doesn't feel very like cat-like. I don't get the sense that I have cat-like senses at all, you know? Like, yes.
When you're getting nauseous, it doesn't feel like you're some leave sleek character.
Well, and I think part of the issue is that the world isn't, the gameplay is not designed at the level that the world is experienced from the cat's perspective. Like, and this is one of my issues with the drone also. Mm-hmm. The moment you get the drone, in my opinion, you kind of stop being the cat at all. And you start being the drone. Like, you were just a drone that's controlling a cat. You're not the cat, right?
Right.
Because the drone can talk to robots. It can read languages. It can transport it. It has memories.
Pick shit up. You know, it can point it at things.
And it can pick up any number of shit and just, like, bag of holding that crap onto your cat, right? Like, it doesn't feel like you're actually working within the limitations of catness, you know? Not Katniss Everdeen, you know.
Katniss with a C.
Katniss with a C. And so, like, I think the catness of it is undermined in a pursuit of making a better, like, third-person adventure game. But to me, it just feels like it undermines the element that, to me, sold me on it in the first place, which was the idea of embodying a cat, right?
Yeah.
I think if they had designed the world where your stature was more necessary for navigating the world or solving puzzles, like, you know, if you had to pick up a key with your mouth, but like even the puzzle design, right? Like, some of the puzzles involve picking up a bucket with your mouth, which just seems like bizarrely large for a thing a cat to do, you know, before you can sort of magically transform anything into your backpack. Right.
Yeah.
And even the idea of like slinking through narrow spaces is really just a tiny barrier for gating the robots and allowing you to get into another space. But ultimately, it doesn't actually feel like the world is cat sized. Like, it doesn't feel like you are navigating a larger space and so smaller items suddenly gain more importance. And the same is true for the enemies. Like, all of the enemies that you're fighting are these head lice, half life, head crab things.
They
right?
do like, really look like head crabs.
Yeah. Like, they're not actually anything that is at a different scale, and they just kind of spam running at you. So, like, to me, it felt like the idea of being a cat was not actually well realized at all.
It is hard to split the difference between it just being flat out difficult to read the environment, to your point of having to move the stick around all the time. But then if you zoom the camera out too far, then it just becomes a standard third person 3D action game.
Yeah.
You know, then you might as well be playing. I mean, in a hilarious way, this is like a cat level viewpoint of, you know, Ratchet and Clank. Running around and Clank is on your back. But if you zoomed it out too far, it would just feel like Ratchet and Clank. So, like, you kind of have to keep it down at cat level. But then that makes it more difficult to make it readable to a person. You know, because you're trying to navigate human-built structures.
And to me, that's where the design fails. Like, I think what would have been more interesting, and I think effective as well, is being in a cat community. Like, let me play as a cat with a fucking posse of cats. And maybe we're like, and now I'm just like, you know, imagining a completely different game. So my apologies, because it's not true criticism of Stray. But I think the idea of, like, being a cat in a cat community, maybe you're hyper-intelligent cats, so you're, like, chatting with one another, right? Where your enemy is like, a dog and not a person. And you're just sort of, like, walking between the legs of human beings. Like, the idea of being a cat where you're navigating a landscape designed for large creatures, but you're not even, they're not even important. Like, imagine an entire adventure taking place at the feet of other human beings walking around New York, right? Like, you can imagine a cat in New York being a great setting for a cat adventure, right? Like, interacting with other cats, interacting with, like, dogs and birds and all kinds of weird shit, right? Like, rather than, I'm going to have a robot on my backpack that literally has a flashlight in this game, and, you know, and then you're just not, the cat nature is gone at that point, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you might as well, it could just be a, it could be an alien creature or a robot or a person or whatever. Like, it doesn't, at that point, you're getting away from the biological distinctness of it, perhaps.
Yeah. And I think, and honestly, I think if this game allowed you to be even more third person and it really does feel like you're just looking down at a cat and that's kind of your interaction with the world, I think it would have been better. You know, I think it would have just, I think it's trying to walk that line between the two where it's, I want to tell an action adventure game with like this deep story and that's strong world building. And I think a lot of that is effective, but I want to tell it through a cat. And I'm not convinced that you playing as a cat is actually the best way to experience this world or tell the story.
Maybe
a dog would have been better.
I want to see how it winds up too. Like if there's ever a thing that, you know, is there going to be some climactic scene where you get separated from the robot and like something has to happen or whatever, you know, are they building to something where you kind of have to reclaim that or utilize your uniqueness, or maybe it goes the other way where you're now, you know, the cats and the robots start to, you know, build a joint society or something like that. Yeah. You know, I could see, I don't know how it's going to wind up yet, but that could be part of it, you know, at the end, you know, saying something about what the next cat/robot society looks like.
I mean, give me a sequel where like you co-op, you can play as a bird. You're like a duck and I'm a cat. And it's like, you know, figuring it out.
Cats plus Dogs, the like, sequel to Stray.
Like, imagine Banjo-Kazooie, but one of you was just an actual bear, and one of you is just an actual goose, you know?
Man, how'd that bear get that backpack on? I don't know, but that bird is somehow spitting eggs at us. Run!
Perfection.
So, what we talked a little bit of, I mean, we talked a lot about Stray. We talked about kind of the nature of playing as an animal.
Yeah.
Jury is out on as to how it's going to kind of wind up. Although I do appreciate the level of, I don't mean this in a mean way, but like pointlessness that you could participate in as the cat, where it's just like, I'm just going to frolic here for a minute or sleep here or just scratch this thing. Like literally nothing's like that in a way is the essence of a cat. Like just 100%. Doing fucking bullshit because you're a cat and no one can tell you to do it otherwise. Like that's probably those like minute little details are probably the most like feline, related things that are in the game so far.
Well, and I revel in them, right? Like, I love the idea of being able to sort of rub someone's leg as a cat or to chill and listen to music as a cat because it scales it back down to, like, cat stakes, you know?
Yes, yeah. The careabouts for a cat.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little. You were thinking about this got you in the mindset of video games as where you play as animal avatars. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, because we've had a bunch of video games where you play as animals, right? So Okami as you're a wolf, right? But I was thinking about this of like, you know, how challenging it is to make a game where you embody the animal and still make it like a fun experience. What are the animal games that you can think of that feels more like you're embodying an animal? And I don't mean to say like, it has to be a boring, uninteresting game where you're just like a cow chewing cud, right? Like, that's not the goal. But I think that there's one of the exciting things about video games and embodying other people, right, is this opportunity for you to experience an otherness, right? Yeah. And that includes the way that you interact with the world in a way that is unique to that particular other that you happen to be playing, right?
Yes.
So the game that comes to the top of my mind that does this really effectively, actually, two games for comic effect, Goat Simulator and Untitled Goose Game, which are ludicrous, silly games. Yeah. But, man, the verbs in Goat Simulator is just one, and it's goat. Just goat something. Just yeet that shit off the earth. You are a goat. All you can do is just fucking goat things, you know? And the same is true for Goose Game. You are just an asshole goose, and we all know that geese are actual assholes in real life, so not surprising at all.
Yeah.
It's a cool little puzzle game, but the verbiage that you use in that experience, you never whip out a fucking flashlight. You're not translating text. Like, you are a goose. Yes. You know?
Well, and there are similar things where, you know, there's a dedicated honk button in Untitled Goose Game, but it is, the honk is a tool that the goose uses to get shit done in the context of being a goose, yeah, where it's like, oh, I'm going to honk because, one, I'm a goose and I'm just an asshole that honks everywhere. But I'm also going to honk because that's the one of the few things that can distract a human so I can get around this gate and go steal their shit or whatever. So it's not only is it like a hilarious, pointless dedication of a button, but it also, there is a point, and it's a point that institutes one of the few tools that geese have in order to do things in life, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, you just honk and get shit done, for sure.
I was thinking about a fairly recent game. Do you remember Ape Out?
Yeah, what a God. I should replay that game. That game is so fucking good.
Where, like, you're playing as a rampaging gorilla, and verbs very limited. You know, you're just running, and the closer you get to things, but it does, it pares it down. I mean, you're not Coco. You're not using sign language to communicate. But in the concept of being an enraged gorilla, it really makes you feel like, oh, this could be what it feels like.
Yeah. I mean, what's so funny too about Ape Out, you can grab things. That's your ability.
Yes.
But that includes grabbing people with guns as they frantically shoot, as though you're holding the gun. But what's so good, right, is like the animation is you just holding people as they fire madly.
Yeah.
And they only do it for a couple of rounds because they're panicked. And then you just have to throw their body and use it as a weapon. It's so effective to really establish you being just a big fucking hulking ape.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I don't know if you ever played Shelter. So there's two games where you play as Shelter 1 and Shelter 2. The first game you play is a badger. And the second game you play is a lynx. And I think both are functionally, you're like a animal mother escorting your babies and trying to keep them from like hawks and stuff. That is the truest form of being an animal, because the game is about being an animal. Survival. Right? Like, you're just trying to survive. It is third person, and you're trying to, it's basically a stealth game, but the idea is you are a badger trying to stay stealthy from the predators. I think that's a pretty like cool and effective way to sort of embody that other animal experience.
Did you ever play that old Wii game called Deadly Creatures?
Is that the one where you're like, you play as like scorpions and shit?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. No, I've never played that.
I was thinking about that when you were
like, I don't like spiders in real life, so.
I mean, maybe this would be exposure therapy, you know? I mean, like, this is the first step for. I mean, I was thinking about that in terms of Shelter, right? It's doing objectives as an animal. In a weird way, it seems like the animal games should be very popular right now because of the popularity of survival games, where it's like the only point of being an animal is to survive. So it seems like it would lend itself extremely well to a survival genre, you know?
I loved Sim Ant. That's the other one I feel like mention every now and then. I'd have to talk about it. Because again, that is another world where it downscales it, right? And the things that are small and minor are suddenly huge. I mean, it's what's compelling about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in a way, right?
Like, that's true.
You're bringing it down at this smaller level. In addition, the game is educational as shit. And it's super fucking memorable. Like, anybody who played Cement as a kid a lot knows what it's like to, like, become a tarantula and feel like you're a fucking dominating force, you know? Or again, use your ant verbiage and just dig a fucking sneaky asshole to the enemy queen, you know? And mess up that colony. Like, it really genuinely feels like it found the fun in embodying something that is true to life, right? Like that ant experience. And I legitimately think that you can find that in pretty much any animal, you know? I think that there's a lot of really cool stuff. I mean, it sounds weird, but even like being an eagle in Assassin's Creed, I think is fucking cool, you know? And it gives you that height advantage and it lets you mark targets. And you know, there's fun elements of being able to incorporate the animalness of animals.
Well, and with both that Assassin's Creed example and Sim Ant, you're still dealing with the human world, but just in a way that the animal would deal with it.
Yeah.
Whereas you could, we'll see how the game kind of winds up for me, but with Stray, it's once you get the robot, you start to be able to deal with the world more as a robot.
Yeah.
Whereas Sim Ant, you're just dealing with the world as a colony of ants, and you kind of think about things differently. Yeah. So, let me hit you with one last one from on my side of the house, a classic. What does the classic game Frogger tell you about frogs?
I mean, look, they gotta keep going. I don't even know why the fuck is the frog crossing the road.
I mean, maybe frogs are stupid animals, you know, like there's probably a very few lines of code in a frog's brain. Like they need to get to the other side of the road because there's a pond over there that they need to get there in order to lay eggs. And that's it. Like that's their whole life. You know,
I mean, look, at the end of the day, you just hop around in frog. Like there's nothing more frogness than that. Right. I think that's pretty good.
And man, so early too, right? I mean, that's like at the dawn of video games. Like we've been trying to crack this animal code for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. There's a dinosaur game that I played a while back, actually. Not like Frogger at all, but it is a survival game exactly like you're talking about. Ivra, I think it's called.
Man, that's fun. And it is just about surviving in the dinosaur.
So basically you can pick an animal, pick a dinosaur or, you know, an early crocodile or a pterosaur. And you start out as a baby and you eat and you grow and you become an adult. And that's it. But every other dinosaur is a player. And all of those players got to eat and they will fucking kill you and they will eat you.
Man, dinosaur role play.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically dinosaur role play. And again, it's very niche for a specific audience, but
yeah,
they are committed to the science of it and the feelingness that you're there, you know,
like truly role playing so that you don't have a, you know, you don't have a Diplodocus like bum rushing a Triceratops to eat it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. The one game that I think about a lot, and this is probably one of the games that I think about more that I've not played, like for a game that I've not played, I think about this game quite a bit, and that's Tokyo Jungle.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you play as wild animals, post-apocalyptic, in an urban environment. I think that idea is really cool. And it's cool even from, like, the perspective of human beings, right? When we imagine post-apocalypse, and so you're navigating your city, you know, countless movies that show, like, a lion or a pack of wolves or a giraffe, and you're like, whoa, so weird, an animal in a place where animals don't belong. Yeah. Like, that. I think that is a compelling idea, you know?
Yeah.
I think the fruit is there for games like Stray to be successful. And I think that's why it's compelling, right? The idea of I'm going to experience a world from a different perspective at a different scale as an animal that are just, you know, that we know and love and I think are interesting. I think Stray could be done as a dog. It could be done as a bird. Like, I think there's all kinds of cool design avenues to explore being an animal and yet still experiencing an actual real narrative arc and a compelling world and an interesting story.
Can't wait for the expanded Stray universe that we've created here.
I mean, maybe. I think the game's doing pretty well. I know that, so I don't know about you. I ended up, the game itself is $30 right now, which seemed very steep to me. Mm. So I decided to just buy the remainder of the year of PlayStation Plus fucking.
That's how they get you.
Prime or whatever the fuck they're calling it. Garbage they're calling it. Extreme. I don't know what the second tier is.
Yeah, it's whatever tier. Yeah, I saw that too. I didn't do it yet, but I was like, oh, this is what they're doing. They're luring $20. Me in with cats.
So you can get like 170 days for $20 and get this game, or you can pay $30 and get the game. Just get this, cancel your PlayStation and Plus subscription before it runs out, and you're good.
They know that. I mean, unlike you, not everyone, you know, speaking of animals, not everyone watches their subscription services with hawk-like attention. most people are lazy cats and will forget to cancel their subscription, so they're taking advantage of it. So it's a Trojan cat.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Telling you. But yeah, I saw that too. And I mean, whatever. Not an episode goes by where we don't slag on Sony for their extremely bad positioning. But like, I have to say it again, where it's like, it's so bad. Like they set the expectation that they were like, oh, we're not going to have games day and date, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, lo and behold, here's Stray day and date. It's like, why weren't you leading with that months ago? Like, it's so crazy.
And I don't know if you've been on the store, but like there's multiple pages where they try to explain the differences and compare it. And to be fair, from like a UI perspective, it's probably the best you could have done, but it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Yeah.
But I mean, like, they may have gotten me to subscribe before. If I knew Stray and like two other games were going to be there day and date, I'd be like, okay, maybe I will subscribe for a while. But like, I didn't. Like, they lost me already before they even launched the thing. And if they would have told me straight up that this was going to be part of it, I would have already done it. Like, it's just such a crazy, like, I don't know, man. Whatever. Again, not an episode goes by and I'm trying to teach them how to take my money and they're just not doing it.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Well, they have plenty of other examples too as well. So, I don't know. There's no one's excuse. One, before we end, one last call-outs to a video game where I think the idea of embodying an animal is good. And that is Who's Your Daddy? And you are embodying a baby. Have you played this game?
No. Is this the one? No, this is the one where it's like you're like trying to run around away from the dad, basically. Yes,
this is the asymmetrical competitive game where one person is the dad who has to accomplish tasks and keep the baby alive, and the baby is just trying to kill themselves. Yeah, so you can like grab a fork and shove it in an outlet. You can like find bleach. Yeah. The idea, and what's great too is it scales it down. Like the world that the baby can reach is low, and so the dad has to like frantically move things around to higher levels, but baby can be like ingenuitive. I think that game is so fucking cool, and what a great way to like embody how shitty babies can be and how like terrifying they are and weirdly adept at trying to get themselves killed.
Well, and also you know, both of us have had to go through this where like you can kind of see your kid like, okay, my kid is roughly as smart as a dog now. Like, I'm kind of in trouble. And then it's like all of a sudden something changes. Like, oh, fuck, my chimp is my baby has reached chimp status, you know, like, oh, crap. Like, they're starting to put abstract concepts together. You know, it's like it's just it's a funny like the base level animalistic nature of humans is also fair game.
So my my daughter, we missed last week's podcast because I was visiting family. She learns to walk that weekend
just to troll you.
Yeah, just to troll us. And then we come home and all of a sudden it's like a flood. It's like the water line has risen and everything dangerous has now moved up an entire foot.
Oh yeah, I mean that continues because they just keep growing and like they keep climbing. And so like now you know why my house is so annoying, where it's like, Scott, why is everything on a high shelf? It's like, there you go, that's why.
I'm hoping at some point, though, she's sturdy enough where if she takes a good fall or a bump, it's like, oh well, should have known better, rather than like, gotta go to the emergency room.
Oh, I mean, I'm not, let me be clear, I'm not doing it to protect the child. I'm doing it to protect my shit. That's like, I mean, like,
fair, very fair.
They will break the stuff more than they'll break you. Like, it's, yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, animals, all of them.
Animals, every single one.
All right, let's leave it there for now. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our website.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our address. Do us a favor, tell your litter where you can find us. I don't know. We are Experience Points wherever you find podcasts. Spotify, any of the number ones. Apple Podcasts. Do us a favor, leave us a review.
If we got some of that sweet Apple TV money.
Dude, let's get on Apple TV.
Some of that sweet Apple TV scratch.
I mean, look, we have endless ideas. I got a fucking cat show in the works. I'm ready to go.
I mean, Apple, they're always looking for content. So
is there an animal that you would want a video game of to be?
Man,
it's got to be like a raccoon, right? Like, you got opposable thumbs and they're sneaky as fuck.
I mean, we are primed for a Sly Cooper reboot, so I mean, you know, you put that out there like the world. Like, if they ever get bored making Spider-Man games or whatever, like they're ready for that.
Dude,
like,
make
Ratchet
a fucking,
came back, all that stuff.
You know, Sly Cooper's there. Honest call out, make a Squirrel Girl game and let me be a squirrel for like half that game.
I mean, yeah, it's like we've never been better at like movement and momentum. So I feel like the floodgates can open up very quickly.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
So long, meow.